Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
You're dying of spiritual thirst, and then you drag your butt into a church somewhere, maybe, or you're too embarrassed to pull back in, and you walk in here at least, and we love on you and go, okay, let's pick up where you left off and go. And it's like somebody handing you a big old glass of ice cold water, and you chug that thing and go, man, I'm gonna be okay.
You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. We're so grateful you've tuned into the program. Richard wants to share with you some encouragement, words of hope, and probably a laugh or two. And in today's complicated, busy life, that's exactly what's needed. Richard's talks are always straight from the Bible, filled with truth. Now, you may not be able to hang out with us for the entire program, but you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellis.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellis.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Water the Plants. So you'll have to go back. I don't do many series, but if you want to get some background on this, go listen to Overseed Rye and my experiment I've had in my front yard, about 18,000 square feet of yard that is usually dirt, and me and the bride decided we would like to see grass there. So I go to the supplier, buy 200 pounds of grass, spread it, and, you know, all honesty, if I go back to this, the guy said, okay, here's what you need to buy. Here's some fertilizer to put out. A few weeks later, I'm listening, put it out there. And in fact, when I went to put it out there, a storm came. And I thought, this is it. It's going to be perfect. I'm going to get this out here before the storm. But what I didn't know about a storm is that the rain washed a lot of seed into piles. So I have piles of really dense grass and then bald spots. Some men understand that. So I'm like, okay, this is not working, because in my mind, I thought, I'm going to go out here, you know, go up and down, spread this grass. It's going to rain. A couple of hours will be grass, thick grass, beautiful lawn. And it didn't work out that way. But if I go back and I'm honest, what he told me was, put it out and water it for 10 minutes twice a day. And do you think I did that? Of course, I did not do that, because, well, that would be silly. Plus, he told me a certain sprinkler head that I should buy. I bought four of those, but I don't have enough water pressure to run all four of them, so I've ended up with one. And I have to go down and put it, walk 18 feet, put it, you know, leave it, and I'm out there all night. It's just a nightmare. This is why you don't overseed rye. So you say, well, everybody knows this stuff, duh. How many of you have planted ryegrass and know what I'm talking about? Okay, see, that's not everybody. So the rest of you are ignorant like me, and you could get into all kind of problems. It's not that you're not stupid. I'm not stupid, borderline on this, but I'm definitely ignorant because I didn't do what I was told. And part of the reason for that is I didn't understand why I was supposed to do what I was told. Okay? I put more seed out, and dude, I've never been so glad it rained in my life. I watch the weather now. I got seed out there and I'm watering, and I look in the forecast, like there's just not going to rain till, you know, it's a couple of years. It'll be before it rains again. So, but I'm moving those sprinkler heads because I want grass. And out of nowhere, it rained the other day. I was like, I feel like a farmer, like, it rained, it's a miracle. I don't have to do this all night today. And the ground is saturated with water. It's moist. And you can put an indicator in there and go, oh my gosh. So I'm all excited about rain. That's the dumbest thing in the world. I don't know what happened to me. So as it turns out, I'm going to read you some technical stuff here. Water hydrates the seed, activates enzymes, signals that conditions are right for growth. And if I showed you my bag of seed, there ain't nothing growing in that bag to this day. I got some left over. Nothing is growing in my bag of seed. It is dry, just like when I bought it. Until you put it on the ground or in the ground and add water, nothing happens. Water softens the outer shell. Seeds have a hard coat that protects them. Water softens and breaks down that barrier. So just track with me. You say, well, what are you talking about? Track with me spiritually. Allows the root, or what's called the radical, to emerge. Once the seed germinates, water carries nutrients into the seed, supports early root growth, anchors the plant for future stability. Without water, roots remain shallow or never form. Now, how many Christians you know that, or you maybe, that describes you? Roots remain shallow or never form. After sprouting, water remains cell expansion, keeps the plant from withering, allows leaves and fruit to develop. Growth isn't a one-time event, it's ongoing dependence. So I was all excited about planting seed and miscalculated, misunderstood completely that the seed, even if it gets a ton of water and some of it germinates in piles, if you don't stay on that seed, on that grass that germinates and keep watering it, you're going to lose your lawn. Go to Deuteronomy 32. I'm going to read you a bunch of verses here to back all this up. And then I want you to begin to think about you as a plant and you as a planter and a waterer of plants and what you're doing or not doing and one that needs to be watered. Deuteronomy 32:2 says, "Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb and as showers on the grass." I used to read this poetically. Now I can read it in my front yard. This made no sense to me. I'm like, whatever that means is some kind of poetry. But people who know what this means might let my teaching drop as the rain. So teaching, preaching, you're sharing your faith, you ministering to somebody with the scriptures, then for that person, whether they know it or not, it's doing this. It's like dropping like the rain, speech distill in the dew as raindrops on the tender herb and as showers on the grass. It does something to the person. Psalm 63:1. Yeah, and let me just add in here before I read you all these verses. The cool thing for me about being a pastor and about preaching and studying and this whole process is this stuff is so fresh to me. It's like I never read it in my life. Because of an experience with the grass in my front yard. So pay attention to what's going on in your life, and God will say, look, this is what I've been trying to show you. Sure, you're planting stuff, but if you don't water it, it's not going to survive. What are you doing? And then these verses just explode off the page to me. Psalm 63:1, "Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." Now the rest of my yard, I've got other yard that it's just going to have to, you know, good luck. It rained the other day and some stuff came up. I don't care about that right now. And it may burn up in the summer. I don't care about that. I'm trying to grow this grass right now. But when I abandon that grass that gets sun and parts of the year, there's deep roots. But if it gets no moisture, if it gets too hot, it does not survive. It just stops. And if that grass could speak, it would be upset with the ryegrass, number one. Jealous of the ryegrass. Okay, what's going on over there? We got nothing. We're getting nothing over here. And dying of thirst. These are human beings being described here, though. So now we're smarter than God. We're smarter than the scriptures. We don't need anybody. And we get out there by ourselves. And I'm talking to Christians right now. And I can do this by myself. That means you're about 2 years old, maybe, spiritually. I can do this by myself. And you're alone. And then you start drying up. You start getting brittle. You start getting, like, desperate. Like, something is not working. You're dying of spiritual thirst. And then you drag your butt into a church somewhere, maybe, or you're too embarrassed to pull back in, and you walk in here at least, and we love on you and go, okay, let's pick up where you left off and go. And it's like somebody handing you a big old glass of ice cold water, and you chug that thing and go, man, I'm going to be okay. Go to the next one. Isaiah 55:10. "For as the rain comes down," I'm telling you, this is crazy for me to read this. I've been reading this for decades. And it makes more sense now than ever. "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." So when it snows and rains and things bud and grow, God says in the same way, when I speak and my word goes forth, things bud and grow. Something is going to happen. It's just the way it is. "And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." So don't be afraid of scripture. And when you sit with somebody and the Holy Spirit brings some scripture to mind, you say, well, I don't know where it is. Look it up. If you know a piece of it, look it up. find it and say, look, I'm not maybe great at this, and I couldn't quote it to you, but this is what God says about you right here, this is what he says. And you say, well, that's not gonna do anything. It changes the world. The Psalms are filled with this. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in you. Isaiah 58, 11, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. That's what he says about you and me. He'll guide you continually, satisfy your soul in drought, like a watered garden. Jeremiah 17, 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought. This is like a plant talking. Are you worried about the heat coming? No, I have no reason to be anxious. I have deep roots in the river. Like what? Not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Why? Because it's got deep roots that connect with moisture. John chapter 3, verse 19. So there's a category here for people, I've described this already, who say, well, I don't need to gather a bunch of hypocrite Christians. I can just do this by myself. And you're not intended to do that. But here's part of what contributes to you ending up there. John 3, 19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. And what did Jesus say about his church, about believers? That you are the light of the world. So when someone is hesitant to approach you as a Christian, you're like, well, they don't like me. Get over yourself. It's not you, unless you're just some kind of rude idiot. If you're being kind and loving on them, it's not you they're rejecting. You are light. And they don't want to be around light because it exposes their lives and their deeds are evil, and that's what they want to do. But sooner or later, it gets so dark in their world, they can't see, and they know they're in trouble, and then they go looking for light, and as it turns out, he uses us as those lights. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, so he's writing to Christians, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. And I've shared this before. A newborn Christian, a babe in Christ, is a carnal Christian. Stop expecting a brand new Christian to live like a mature Christian. It can't happen. They don't know anything. Like a newborn baby is going to crap their diapers. It's going to be a messy deal. But you're supposed to grow up. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able, for you are still carnal. In other words, grow up. For where there, and then he gives some examples of how he knows that they are still carnal. Envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men, like everybody else in the world? For one says, and here's where he says, this is where the problem is. For when one says, I am of Paul, I'm a follower of Paul. I'm in his lineage. He shared the gospel with me or my mama, and so we're Paul followers. I am of Paul. And another says, I am of Apollos. And he was another guy that preached, a teacher, very eloquent. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? And then he explains this little phrase, I planted, this is Paul speaking, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now, it doesn't mean you don't matter, but I did not go plant myself in my front yard and turn into grass. I went out there and planted grass, but the grass had to be grass seed to be grass. That's all I could do is plant the grass. And in the same way, I am not the water. I can water it unless God rains on it. But if I water it, and you say, wow, look what you did. I get what you're trying to say to me. Look what you did. The water did the doing. The seed is the seed. The water is the water. Stop taking credit for something that happens you really have nothing to do with, but that you scattered seed and watered it. But it is God who gives the increase. It's all about him. So don't get caught up in some person. Oh, I follow this person or that person. You need to follow Jesus. Because he's the only one with the power to save, germinate seed, and grow somebody. And about every so many years, somebody falls. Somebody in the Christian community that we follow, read all their books, something goes haywire, they have an affair, whatever goes on, and oh, I'm out because my leader fell. You got the wrong leader. Jesus ain't going to fall. So keep reading here. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. In other words, they're working as a team. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. So yes, you do die. You get to heaven and God says, okay, what did you do? Well, I saved all these people. Dude, you saved nobody. And I have people who say to me, I remember I was there when you saved so-and-so. And I stop them every time and say, dude, I have never saved anyone in my life. You say, well, then how does this work? It's like landscaping people. They can come to your house and plant stuff. They can show you how to water it, put a system in place. But they go, oh, look how smart he is. And look what he did or she did. It's not about them. It's the seed. It's the water. It's about him. He brings the increase. But if you do what you're supposed to do, you get blessed by seeing that increase. So I'll give you an update probably. But I went back out and planted about a week ago, put some more seed out. I'm like, okay, I'm in a groove now. Got these sprinklers going. And by the way, he is the sprinkler head. So remember that. He is the head of all the sprinkling. And now by faith, it's all by faith at this point. I go out there with my flashlight at night. I'm still looking at these little seeds on the ground going, here, little seed, come on, come on, come on. You got enough moisture. You know, I'm coaching these seeds. But what I'm counting on is that any day now, that extra seed I put out that I'm hitting with that water is going to explode and I have a front yard full of grass. And then it'll turn to spring and it'll all die and I have to do it again, which we may or may not do. I believe next year is your turn. Your turn. Paul's main emphasis on that passage I just read you is humility. Human responsibility without human credit. God uses people, but God alone produces life. It's all him. I just get in on the deal. Acts 18, just a few more and we're done. Acts 18, 24. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, so this is the one that's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 3, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord. That's important. So he's instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he is pumped about what he's doing. He spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. That John had baptized people out in the wilderness. He hadn't heard that you need to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the baptism since Jesus raised from the dead. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately, which is very important. If you stop being teachable because you think you've learned everything, it's over. And I'm standing here telling you, I am pumped about stuff I've never seen in the scripture based on trying to grow grass. And I'm like, okay, I get it more clearly now. And maybe can help people understand this. So they instruct him. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Do that. When you go out in the world, help people who have believed through grace, showing them from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. So people, I meet people, they show up and I go, you say, well, this person's, they're just out there. Okay, well, we don't know who they are. That's the first thing you do. You ask questions. Tell me about your relationship with Jesus. If they have no relationship with Jesus, they have no way to live the Christian life. So now if they're a non-believer, you process them accordingly. If you find out they are a believer already, what do you do with that person? You water that plant. Okay, tell me about your relationship with Jesus. Okay, you have one. Are you like 2 weeks old, 2 months old, 2 years old, 20 years old? You find out where they are and say, okay, how do we move this forward? You say, well, nobody's helping me do that. The mission statement of this church is disciples making disciples. We have offered for years to take you on one-on-one personally. Well, let me pray about that. Okay, knock yourself out. You got people who are willing to help you grow on a personal level, one-on-one, one-on-two. Well, I don't want to. You know why a lot of people don't do that? You don't want them up in your grill. You don't want somebody asking you what you struggle with. You got some pet little sin you're sucking your thumb on and won't give it up. And like, well, I don't want to, my blankie, and this is my little sin, and it's destroying your life, but you won't let go of it. Somebody says, okay, what do you struggle with? I don't struggle with anything. You're struggling with something, or you'd grow up. 2 Timothy 4, there's another reason why people don't stay where they can be watered. 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So someone decides, okay, I'm going to live like hell. I'm going to live however I want to live. I'm not going to change. It could be a lifestyle issue. It could be anything. You know, the scripture says, don't sleep with somebody you're not married to. Well, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't want to hear that. So I'm going to go searching for a church, which means I'm going to go find some guy that has long enough nails to scratch my ears and condone what I'm doing or never address it, so I'm not confronted, because you don't want to hear the truth. But if you don't hear the truth, you'll never be free from the thing that you're trapped with. I talked to a guy recently, been living with a woman, all kind of chaos, pain, suffering. And I'm not, you know, I'm a very nice person, but sometimes it can be a little direct. Really? You know what? There's about 12 men in the room going, oh, I can't believe he's telling my story. I'm so embarrassed. And I say, dude, you're in pain because you're an idiot. No one did this to you but you. You made all these decisions, got yourself in this mess, and now you're upset and is this mess. You got to take full responsibility for being an idiot, confess it to whoever you got to, him, and grow up, and let's move on. Well, that's not very nice. Maybe women tell each other these things differently, but with men, that's kind of how it works. I don't pat a lot of men on the back and go, oh, it's going to be okay, dearie. You know, whatever, dude. You're an idiot. That's the only answer. And if you don't want to feel this way again, don't do this again. That's why there's pain associated with consequence. You go to do it again, shack up with somebody, and the Holy Spirit goes, really? You're going to do this again? How'd that work out last time? Why don't you just trust me and follow me? You're going to have pain that way, but at least it's for obeying, not disobeying. And then Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellis.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's audio and video messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link so you can connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, all of our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellis.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Now let me briefly address this. Mission statement of this church, disciples making disciples. I've got it here in my notes. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. As you're going, make disciples of all the nations. Okay? Nobody that's here in this room probably lives very close to this building. And every once in a while you say, well, why don't I go find a church somewhere closer to my house? I get that. We've had tens of thousands of people come to this church and land somewhere closer. If that's what God tells you to do, great. But until he tells you to do that, you need to be here. And here's why you need to be here. We need people with hoses, with water running through them, helping people. You're not just attending a gathering of a church. It's game on. You're the gardeners. So you can plant where that's necessary. And then when you see someone and the Holy Spirit says, you're up, that's your guy. Guys with guys, women with women, you're up. If you think my job, the elder's job in this church is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry is planting and watering. You say, well, I'm driving so far and all this. Or you say, oh, I'm watching out here. If God's telling you to come down here and help us, come down here and help us. But I don't need you to come here and just sit on your butt and listen and go, oh, well, this is better in person than on the radio or whatever. If you're going to come down here, come down to get help and be help and serve. And I've been here a while. I look around here, I see little pockets of people because everybody sits in the same place. And relationships and people taking care of each other in that little section. What's going on? How are you doing? I'll call you. We'll help you find sober living. You're not by yourself. Hang in there. You didn't move in with her, did you? It's not going to work, dude. Well, I'm going to go somewhere where they don't confront me. Great. That's brilliant. Get away from people who love you and care. Well, they're judging me. No, they're not. Probably not. They just love you enough to tell you the truth. So let's plant us some seed. Let's water some plants. And you better get ready because they're on the way. And I can only personally take on so many people. I need your help.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. We all have busy schedules these days, so it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Richard would love to know how today's talk has touched your heart, so give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD, 855-6-RICHARD. You can also share your story with us at our website, richardellis.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program that is always expanding to reach the world with the good news of the gospel, but it also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program like ours means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. We believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by calling 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellis.com. Thank you for your generosity. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.